Meanwhile, in Detroit, a leading real estate developer wants more gays to move in. The Farbman Group has advertised its loft apartments and condos in the city's gay newspaper. The company's president says homosexuals have often been the catalyst for revitalizing a city's downtown. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports.
Downtown Detroit is undergoing a slow and steady revival.
You can see a lot of steel popping up in different directions.
Danny Sampson is a project manager for the Farbman Group. He says it's an exciting time. The city's casinos, stadiums, and construction of CompuWare's new headquarters are all signs of an awakening downtown. The Farbman Group is part of the process, building loft apartments from long vacant department stores on Woodward Avenue, the city's main strip.
So here you can get a sense of what an unfurnished unit looks like. Again, a wide open space, really with exposed ductwork, track lighting.
The Farbman Group took an unprecedented step for the company, advertising in the area's weekly gay newspaper. Company president David Farbman says it was more than an effort to rent or sell his properties. He believes gays can help revitalize Detroit's downtown.
The gay community tends to have the guts to go into an area as pioneers before the masses arrive. I think that the gay community also has the tendencies to actually go out and put their money where their mouth is and invest in the city around them.
Farbman points to nearby Ferndale as an example. It's the suburb just north of Detroit.
Now, let's don't make this more than what it is.
On Ferndale's bustling business strip, 9 Mile Road, music pumps out of lamp pole speakers, part of the city's renovated streetscape.
There's so much stuff to show you. For example, Angel's Cafe, 5 years ago, it was an empty storefront, dilapidated. It's now a very nice restaurant owned by a gay man.
Openly gay city councilman Craig Covey moved to Ferndale nearly 15 years ago when it was mostly a blue-collar Irish Catholic town and a city on the edge.
The housing stock was deteriorating. People were moving and that's sort of when I moved here in 89. Homes were very reasonable. And it was a city that could go either way.
Ferndale City Manager Tom Barwin says about 10 to 15% of the town's 22,000 residents are gay. Barwin says he doesn't think a community has to have a gay population to thrive, but he says gays and lesbians who live and own businesses in Ferndale have helped turn the city around.
We have virtually no vacancies or very few in our central business district now versus 37 or 38 4 or 5 years ago. Property values have risen higher in this community, which is bordering Detroit, over the last 5 years than any other community in Oakland County on average. So it may not be a direct correlation, but it's, I think, a little more than a coincidence.
Some researchers agree that cities with a sizable gay community can lead to a vibrant local economy. Richard Florida, a professor of regional economic development at Carnegie Mellon University, calls it the gay index, part of his creative class theory, which suggests that communities that mix technology, talent, and tolerance are the most successful.
What people want today is not just a great job and a nice house. They want a great job that they enjoy, a great house and a place to live in, and a place that they can really be themselves. And so the places that allow you to hit all of those factors are the places that are winning the economic competition.
Richard Florida's collaborator, Gary Gates, is a researcher with the Washington, D.C.-based Urban Institute. He studied the characteristics of neighborhoods where sizable numbers of gay male couples live.
We have lots of examples in cities where gay men have started to congregate in neighborhoods, and these neighborhoods have now become very kind of sought-after places to live. I live in D.C. The DuPont Circle area is an example of that. The question is, can you kind of intentionally cause this process?
Unlike other large cities, Detroit does not have a concentrated gay community, but the city administration's relationship with gays has often been strained. Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick caused a stir during the last mayoral campaign when he said he wouldn't want his twin sons to be influenced by homosexuals. A mayoral spokesman says now the city welcomes diversity and anyone who wants to help Detroit, but there was no endorsement of the Farbman plan. More vocal opposition comes from Gary Glenn, the president of the Michigan chapter of the Conservative American Family Association. He led a successful fight against a gay rights ordinance in Ferndale.
I don't think that a wise economic development policy is going to be based on attracting, in particular, people who engage in behavior which a large segment of the population considers to be wrong, and who, as a result of that behavior, are going to be an additional burden on the budget of the city, because of the dramatically increased chances of domestic violence, mental illness, life-threatening, serious diseases, and premature death.
Gay activists call Glenn's comments groundless and say he's been the cause of political turmoil in Ferndale. Even so, gays and lesbians who live in Detroit's metro area have mixed reactions to the Farpman Group's efforts to woo them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Triangle Foundation is Michigan's leading organization serving the gay, lesbian...
At the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, sponsored by the Triangle Foundation, some moviegoers agreed that more gays living in Detroit could help spur economic development. But 21-year-old Lisa, who gave only her first name, said Detroit just needs to attract anyone, regardless of their sexual orientation.
But the hard thing about that is that Detroit doesn't have a public transportation system. It doesn't have, like, a shopping district. It doesn't have a lot of restaurants. It doesn't have a lot of things to do at night. I mean, it's going to be hard to get any group to move to Detroit because there's just not, it's not accessible.
The Triangle Foundation's executive director, Jeffrey Montgomery, says the city's flailing finances have made it difficult for anyone to commit to living downtown in recent years. But Montgomery says the Farpman plan isn't a bad idea, and he has a message for Detroit naysayers.
You need all the help you can get. You know, why don't you make it as attractive and as inviting for as many people to get into this as possible? Because that's how you're going to help guarantee that at the end of the day, you're that much further ahead.
Developer David Farpman says that's exactly what he had in mind when he placed the ads for his lofts in Detroit's gay publications. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Detroit.